Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission. Thank you for joining us today, and we apologize for having a repeat again yesterday. Most of you that are listening probably know we had some server trouble yesterday with our station. We had scheduled Heidi Lambert and Mimi Gurman to come on air and discuss Hanford with us because, as many of you know, Hanford, a big long tunnel collapsed, and now they're saying it's like how many feet? 360-foot long tunnel collapsed. So there was a big portion of it with a big hole out there where the plutonium, the ground had crushed in on these things, and the government's telling us, don't worry, nothing has leaked, everything is fine. So they are going to come back with us on Friday. So I'm super excited about that because, Heidi knows that area well. She grew up there. She understands those systems. Mimi and Heidi have been putting their heads together, deciphering the terms. If any of you don't know this, but Susanna Frame, S-U-S-A-N-N-A-H, Frame, F-R-A-M-E, works for King 5 up in Seattle. She is the go-to person. They have really, literally, she has refused to sit down and shut up. She is a brave soul. She's the reason that we found out about the leaking tanks. Honestly, her mission, this has really made her mark. She is going to be a hero in American eyes if we ever have real herstory, you know what I mean? If we can have history, we can have herstory. I guess my niece who tells me I need to not be so gender biased would tell me that we got to think of a different word for that. But I follow her on Twitter and she posts updates all day long. And this is actually kind of stunning what's happened up there and the level of boom. You know how we know it's really serious? They're all clicking their heels right away going, don't worry, no problem, no problem, nobody's harmed. What did Dr. John Goffman tell us? He systematically studied the Japanese people for 20 years after he discovered the United States government had destroyed the documents for women and children, the most harmed by nuclear radioactivity. After 20 years of studying, yes, he documented their illnesses, their health, the fact that they are the most vulnerable. Yes, 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 all that. The other little coinky-dinky that he observed was that the nuclear industry, the International Atomic Energy Agency, the United States military, the AEC at the time, which is the Atomic Energy Commission, now RNRC, and every other government agency that he had really looked at regularly denied radiation causes harm immediately and underreport the negative effects of radioactive contamination by 90%. percent. That means they tell us about 10% of what's really going on, unless they absolutely have to. That was in the book. Well, I've read two books on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is Nuts for Art, NutzForArt. The first one was Population Control Through Nuclear Pollution. And the second one was his very famous Poison Power. Both the Poison Power is very easy to get, and it's a very easy book. If you guys don't want to listen to me read unprofessionally, because I'm not a professional reader, I just decided to start reading these books because nobody does. Nobody reads. Like, people don't read books. You know, like, it's kind of shocking. They want to have it heard. I don't know what that issue is in our culture. Maybe it's the television culture where we're just used to everything being fed to us. Like, we just want to open our mouths and have the information just pile in there without any effort. But, so I decided to start reading these books, and I mean, I only read 15 minutes, 10 minutes a day. So these, I have like 23, 24, 40 chapters. I mean, it was a long endeavor. It took me 3 months to read the books, each project. So I encourage you to go to my YouTube channel and pick through them, because some of that information is shocking. I mean, it is what has motivated me to not mind being on the air doing this radio show, speaking out to God knows how many people, one or two or 10, or 100,000 or 2 million, I got no idea. And definitely the NSA and the NRC. That part we know. So this has driven me to really find out about a lot of this with Susanna Frame. She's been the one who reports on Hanford. That's the thing. She has been told to sit down and shut up many times, and she just refuses to. And you know why? Because she has a sense of humanity. So in Hanford, they're telling us, don't worry, don't think about it, it's all right. I had a guest scheduled this morning, again, who, this is a very difficult hour. I think I'm going to start pre-recording a lot of interviews. I like to do them live because I think they're better, but for people on the East Coast, it's already 11 o'clock in the morning, and there's a high probability anybody working might have something come up. So I get that. So, we'll have him back. It was Jeff Incinci. He is actually a radio host, and I was dying to talk to him about what he thinks about what is, because he reported, we were talking about the whole 9/11 gig. I personally think that's what's happening right now with our government. It's the same shenanigans. Okay, let's see what Mimi Gurman has to say. This is she posted a thing on Radcast. That's her favorite place to go, radcast.org. She also has a site, No Nukes Northwest, NW.org. No Nukes, it's NONUKES NW.org. This is a story by Samantha Matsumoto. And this was dated May 9, Tuesday. Hanford emergency evacuation, tunnel collapsed at Hanford site, emergency declared. So most of us know this, but listen to this. The tunnels, one 360 feet in length, the other 1,700 feet, were originally used in the 1950s to store contaminated equipment. The underground tunnels have 8 feet of soil covering them. The 20-foot section of the tunnel's roof caved in. No workers were in the tunnel. So this is interesting. I wonder, I'm dying to talk to some scientific person. So if anybody has any scientific knowledge about how radioactivity interacts with the soil or the salt or anything like that, please give me a call. The number is 718-717-8106. And I'm not the best at connecting these calls, so if it doesn't work, I'll disconnect you and call you back, because I can always call out. So somehow I'm not very good at this bringing the call in. So this story by Samantha is talking about the original day, the original reporting. And I went to the website at Washington because I thought, well, let's see where they're at. Governor Jay Inslee of Washington is saying, He tweeted this. I was really mad. I tweeted him back. It says, I'm glad the Hanford workers are safe and we've seen no contamination. We'll be working on an enforcement order over the next 24 hours. I am sick of them lying to us about this. I don't know how you guys feel, but I think this is completely outrageous that these people just continue to buy what the licensees are saying. How is it possible that no radioactivity came out? Do we believe them? I don't believe them at all. I think these people are completely despicable, and they are completely capable of lying straight to their teeth to elected officials. For me, it's just beyond. It's like people believing Donald Trump doesn't have something going on with the Russians after he kicked the American reporters out yesterday and let the Russians in. He didn't even let in Fox News, folks. Like, what is wrong with this lunatic? And then he has the acting director, McCabe. And have we heard anything from the White House about Hanford? No. It's business as usual. And in fact, you know what Rick Perry said? Oh, don't worry. It's being handled. And we are going to take care of all of our nuclear waste. We're going to build some immediate. We're working on innovations. Really, Mr. Rick, what are we going to be doing? What innovations? Dump it in the river and dump it in the grounds? We'll dig deeper holes to just destroy the groundwater. We are on a straight road to murder, death, kill, man. And I personally, as soon as this radio show is over, I'm calling Senator Burr because he runs the investigative committee for the Senate. After yesterday's little stunt where he kicked out the American reporters, how any of the GOP can defend this president is beyond comprehension. And it's not the fact that I personally believe that Comey lied intentionally. And to have Hanford happen at the same time, honest to God, God is hitting America on the back of the head with a foos, you know, one of those Nerf balls, like just going, wake up, you guys. Come on. I mean, pretty soon we're going to have a lead bat in the back of our heads if we don't watch it. You know, Hitler had a whole parliament that supported him. And yes, I am talking about Hitler. Because it's the same regime. In fact, it's the same people funding him. The same people that funded Hitler are the same ones who funded this character. And Americans have just as much fervor for Trumpy as they did for Hitler. In the face of obvious lies, in the face of obvious corruption, same thing. Back to this story, because I can't help but think about it. The tunnel collapsed near the plutonium uranium extract plant, a facility built in the 1950s that is no longer used today, according to the Department of Energy. The plant processed plutonium from 1956 to 1972 and again from 1983 to 88. During those years, the plant processed more than 70,000 tons of uranium fuel rods, about 75% of the plutonium at Hanford. Thanks, American government, for producing this. We needed that, right? Because we didn't know what we were going to do with it, but let's keep building it. Because, hey, it gives us jobs. Some scientists believe no other building on the plant processed more plutonium, according to the website. The building has been vacant for more than two decades, but remains highly contaminated. Highly contaminated. Hanford is the largest depository of radioactive defense waste that must be cleaned. It contains about 56 million gallons. 56 million gallons of waste, most of it in 177 underground tanks. Several rail cars used to transport the fuel rods are buried inside the tunnel near the plant. Several rail cars are used to transport the irradiated fuel rods from the Hanford nuclear reactors to the processing canyons are temporarily buried inside a tunnel near Purex as a result of becoming contaminated, according to the website. The reporter is Susanna Frame with King 5 in Seattle, and Reporter Susanna Frame with King 5 in Seattle is tweeting from the site. So this is so outrageous. Who is this author? Samantha Matsumoto from the Oregonian. So you could actually email her or email the Oregonian if you have other questions. But you know what? You should follow Samantha Frame. She's fabulous, to be honest, on reporting on all of this. So you hear the hidden, how can there be no leaking contamination with the big gaping hole, folks? So, anyways, I'm going to keep going because I did not have a backup plan, actually. But you know what? The world gave us a backup plan because we got Mr. Trump kicking out the American reporters. Oh, on top of a reporter going in to see HHS, Health and Human Services. That's what HHS means. Health and Human Services Director Tom Price, who was a congressman whose integrity was questioned during his hearings because evidently, and this is actually fact, he submitted legislation and passed legislation that would help him make profits on personal stocks that he had just bought. Okay, so he and Blondie, what's her name? The counselor. If that's his counselor, man, he is seriously, his counselor needs counseling. I honest to God, I cannot remember her name, but a reporter got arrested, repeatedly asking him questions. He got arrested for just continuing to ask questions because the guy refused to answer any of his questions. So he kept asking him the same question. Hey, blah, 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 blah. And the guy was like, hey, the police decided they needed to arrest him because they considered it interrupting. So in America, reporters, they're destroying our rights here right before our eyes. And I personally am going to call Senator Burr. And I'm going to demand a special prosecutor. And we actually need action because these people, this is how quickly it can sink. You know, I got into an argument yesterday in my political science class with someone about, he said, we can't have a single payer because you just can't make that big of a change because the health insurance companies are too big. You know what? That's not true. Yes, we're going to need the same health insurance setup. But the CEOs, they're going to have to go take their billions of dollars and go start new businesses because they can no longer suck money out of the American taxpayer once we get single payer. But thank you very much for your setup. And in fact, maybe that's how we could do it. Offer them a carrot, buy them out and keep their insurance company, keep the system, because the system of insurance payouts could help the Medicare system. We need a massive infrastructure to do that. And it's all set up through the insurance companies. Just make them part of Medicare. It's so outrageous. And people defend Trump. People are listening to the state of Washington and they're going, oh, wow, that's not bad. Listen to the news. What the Department of Ecology did today, May 10th, this just popped up. Washington, Olympia. Department of Ecology, Washington, state of Washington. The state of Washington is taking swift legal action against the U.S. government after a tunnel full of mixed radioactive and chemical waste collapsed yesterday at the Hanford Reservation, nuclear reservation. This alarming emergency compels us to take immediate action to hold the federal government accountable for its obligation to clean up the largest nuclear waste site in the country. Right. Go tell that to St. Louis, folks. They'll clean the waste up, but they let everybody die. These bastards. Honestly, okay, I'm not going to cuss. Ecology is requiring the Federal Department of Energy through an enforcement order to immediately assess the integrity of the tunnels and take swift corrective action. Our top priority is to ensure the safety of Hanford workers and the community. The collapse of this tunnel raises serious questions about how it happened and what can be done to make sure it doesn't happen again. This enforcement order is necessary to make sure we get greater assurance from the condition of these tunnels and the Department of Energy's plan to contain further risks, said Governor Jay Inslee. Actually, you know what? Why doesn't Governor Jay Inslee challenge the Price-Anderson Act. Instead of suing the Department of Energy, why don't they sue the government about the Department of Energy? Why don't they take that to court and have that revoked? Because this is how it happens. The Price-Anderson Act indemnifies anyone or any corporation from knowingly or unknowingly causing harm with regards to nuclear energy and caps the licensee's payout. This is so outrageous. The infrastructure built to temporarily store radioactive waste is now more than a half a century old. The tunnel collapse is direct evidence of its failing. It's the latest in a series of alarms that safety and the health of Hanford workers and our citizens are at risk, said Director Bellon. The enforcement order legally requires the U.S. Department of Energy to determine the cause of the tunnel collapse, assess the risk of further collapses, ensure the radioactive and chemical waste in the tunnels is safely stored, and submit a plan for permanently cleaning the waste in the tunnels. Ecology oversees and regulates the government's cleanup work at the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. The communications director at Department of Ecology, State of Washington, her name is Sandy Peck, communications director, 360-584-2257 or at EcologyWA if anybody wants to contact her. And just listen to their pack of lies. I mean, is it really even worth it? Oh my God. Let's read the language of the order. Department of Ecology, State of Washington, May 10, 2007. Let's see. It is from Mr. Doug S. Shoup, Manager, Richland Operations Office, United States Department of Energy. I'll give you his P.O. Box if you guys want a P.O. Box 550, MSIN A7-50, Richland, Washington 99352. Administrative order. So what does this say? Exactly. Let's see. Mm-hmm. They give us some regulation names. Oh my gosh, they CC'd a long, gigantic list of people. I mean, like a long list, a whole page of names. Let's see, where is Rick Perry on this little list of names? You know he's got to be on here. Wow, he's not even at the top of the list. Okay, then. Maybe it's because they're going to address that he's a director. The Department of Ecology has issued an administrative order requiring the Department of Energy, Richland Operations, Operations Office and CH2M Hill Plateau Remediation Company to comply with Revised Code of Washington RCW Hazard Waste Management Act, Code 70.105, Chapter 173.303 Washington Administrative Code WAC Dangerous Waste Regulations. Now, can you imagine? This is so outrageous. Hanford Facility Resource Conservation and Recovery Act permit. Dangerous waste portion revision, 8CWA, big long list of letters. It has determined there is a violation in one of the following. Oh my gosh. Okay, so they're going to give us a big long laundry list of this information in this order. So I'm going to tell you something about it. This will give us their background. I'm going to skip to the background because it's determination that they have had one or more of the following violations. We already know this. The Purex, I'm going to give you the background. The Purex storage tunnels, which are miscellaneous units under Washington's dangerous waste regulations, are used for storage of mixed waste storage to the requirements of WAC 173-303-680. The two tunnels store waste from the Purex plant and other on-site sources. Since being placed into service, mixed waste has been stored in the tunnels on rail cars, although not all materials stored in the tunnels contain mixed waste. The construction of the Purex Tunnel No. 1 was completed in 1956. The tunnel is approximately 19 feet wide by 22 feet high by 358 feet long and provides storage for 8 rail cars. Between 1960 and 65, all 8 rail cars positions were filled and tunnel subsequently was sealed. The combined volume of the equipment stored in the 8 rail cars presently in tunnel number 1 is approximately 780 cubic yards. The waste stored in the tunnels could include barium, D005, cadmium, D006, chromium, D007, lead, D008, mercury, D009, selenium, D010, silver, D011, and light mineral oil, W20, state-only toxic dangerous waste, contained in oil-absorbent material. The silver is predominantly in the form of salts and is considered ignitable because of the presence of silver nitrate. Cadmium could also be considered state-only toxic dangerous waste. Wow. According to an evaluation of the structural integrity of Pyrex Storage Tunnel Number 1 submitted by Westinghouse Hanford Company in May 1991, quote, in September 1990, a dangerous waste permit application for the Pyrex Storage Tunnels was submitted to the Washington State Department of Ecology by the U.S. Department of Energy Richland Operations Office. The evaluation further states, on February 5, 1991, the State of Washington Department of Ecology issued a notice of deficiency for the Pyrex Tunnels dangerous waste permit application. In the NOD, the Department of Ecology questioned the advisability of leaving dangerous waste stored in the Tunnel 1 in light of statements made by Silva in 1980 about the structural integrity of Tunnel 1. 1991, folks. To address the NOD, Westinghouse, now bankrupt, those bastards, Westinghouse Hanford, the operating contractor responsible for the Pyrex storage tunnel, requested Los Alamos Technical Associates to make an independent evaluation of the structural integrity of Pyrex storage tunnel number 1. The conclusions of the independent study were in part as follows. Because of the interaction and dependency on other disposal actions taking place throughout the Hanford site, none of the options studied can be accomplished in the near term. Disposal options included retrieving the waste for treatment and disposal and constructing a new facility for retrieving gamma processing and treatment of the waste for disposal. The study determined that the rate of loss of The study determined that the rate of loss due to gamma radiation is diminishing with time, so that by the year 2001, the timber will still have 60% of its original strength. That's 2001. We're in 2017. Do the math. This was written in what year? 91. So that's 10 years later. So 10 years later, it lost 30%. So what's the degradation level between 2001 and 2017? Probably at least over 30%. It was recommended that the dangerous waste in the tunnel remain as is, and that if the decision for final disposal is not made by year 2001, that the structural integrity again be evaluated in light of any then information, including any further tests on wood preservation that may have been completed at that time. As part of the Central Plateau milestone negotiations in summer of 2016 between the tri-party agencies, a new milestone was created in response to public comment and state interest for Department of Energy to prepare a plan to address the structural integrity of both Pyrex storage tunnels number 1 and number 2. Wow. As of May 10, 2017, Ecology has provided comments to the United States Department of Energy on the draft data quality objective summary resolutions. based on the violations and circumstances described in this order, Ecology is exercising its rights reserved under blah, 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 blah to require the corrective actions described below. There's a big, long laundry list of things, violations and circumstances. So let's hear what they have not been doing. Boy, we're shocked. How many pages? This is 10 pages. I don't think we're going to read 10 pages. But let's skip down to the main things without reading all the blah, blah, blah. The permittees will design, construct. This is what their requirement was. This is their violations and circumstances. The permittees will design, construct, maintain, and operate the facility to minimize the possibility of a fire, explosion, or unplanned sudden or non-sudden release of hazardous substances to air, soil, groundwater, or surface water, which could threaten human health or the environment. That alone, folks, is why they lie, because if they violate that, they don't get paid. In the event of non-compliance of the permit, here we go, the permittees will take all reasonable steps to minimize releases to the environment and will carry out such measures as are reasonable to minimize or correct adverse impacts on human health and environment. So let's lie about it all. The permittees will at all times properly operate, maintain all facilities and systems of treatment and control which are installed or used by the permittees to achieve compliance with the conditions of this permit. Proper operation and maintenance includes effective performance, adequate funding, adequate operator staffing and training. Adequate staffing and training, they've already violated. The adequate laboratory and process control, including appropriate air quality assurance and quality control procedures, they've already violated that. This provision requires the operation of a backup or auxiliary facilities or similar systems only when necessary to achieve compliance with the conditions of this permit. Wow, this is so, these people are so murderers. Seriously, I'm going to skip down. This tells you the terms of their contract, what they're supposed to do. And let's see what they say. I'm going to skip down. On the morning of Tuesday, U.S. Let's see, I'm going to get back. Observations and violations of the circumstances. U.S. DOE and CHRPC have not properly operated and maintained the Purex Storage Tunnel 1 to achieve compliance with the conditions of the Hanford Facility Resource Conservation and Recovery Act permit. Dangerous Waste Portion Revision 8C. U.S. DOE and PRC have failed to keep the operation of the Purex Storage Tunnel Number 1 undisturbed until closure of the Dangerous Waste Management Unit and failed to keep it totally enclosed with a protective covering from the elements and from run-on. Listen to that again. Have failed to keep the operation of Purex Storage Tunnel Number 1 undisturbed until closure of the Dangerous Waste Management Unit and failed to keep it totally enclosed with a protective covering from the elements and from run-on. So they were supposed to cover it up, and they did not. Huh. U.S. DOE and CHPRC have failed to maintain and operate Purex Storage Tunnel Number 1 to minimize the possibility of an unplanned sudden or non-sudden release of hazardous substances to air, soil, groundwater, or surface water, which could threaten human health or the environment. On the morning of Tuesday, May 9, 2017, during routine work activities in the vicinity of Purex Tunnels 200E, a partial subsidence was observed on the south side of Purex Tunnel Number 1 at 8:06 in the morning. A subsidence. That means, have you seen the subsidence? It's a big, gigantic hole. I mean, it's not a subsidence. It looks like a freaking sinkhole. It's big. At 8:09 a.m., an incident was declared, and the incident command post was populated with Mark Hughes identifying as the building emergency director. The facility emergency response organization was assembled at 8:09 a.m. A precautionary take cover was announced at 8:11 Wow, they wasted no time. So it was discovered at 8:06. By 8:11, they told everybody to take cover. Inquiries were made and all staff were accounted for, and there were no injuries. The area S and N gates were secured at 8:19. Wow, 10 minutes later. 13 minutes later. An initial informational notification was made to the ecology at 8:57 a.m. Although no release had been currently identified, the RCRA contingency plan was implemented at 10:45 a.m. A bridge from the incident command post to the emergency operations center was requested, and an alert classification was declared at 8:26 a.m. Ventilation was shut off in building MO294 for a take cover. Let me get back to this. Sorry, you guys, I lost my track. I went and looked at something that sidetracked me. Apologize. Here we go. The plutonium finishing plant shifted office. The plutonium finishing plant shift office was notified for use of Talon robot to obtain photos and dose rate readings. Data indicated that there was not a release. The initial derived air concentration values represented the amount of radon-related particles present in the sampled air. When they were counted later, the result fell below the instrument detection levels, which is indicative that no release of radioactivity from Tunnel 1 occurred. That is such a lie. Oh my God. We need to have our own monitoring. Why do these people even believe these liars? A continuous monitoring plan is planned to be established for the surrounding area using the appropriate monitoring equipment. Visual observations via photos. Yeah, so you can see plutonium. Determined that there was a breach in the tunnel caused by a failure of the internal structure. The breach left a 15 to 20 foot opening in the tunnel. CHPRC engineering evaluated the options below for stabilizing the event. A, covering the breach with a tarp. B, building a structure over the breach. C, planned engineered filling the hole with an undetermined amount of sand. It was decided the initial approach would be to fill the hole with sand and provide continuous monitoring. Okay. These people are completely insane. They have radiation brain. I'm convinced radioactivity makes your brain go wacky. That's why I give Kevin Blanch a long leeway, man. As of May 10th, 2017, besides, let me just put this out there to you, Kevin. God bless you, Kevin. We know you just had heart surgery. So let's get back to this. We're reporting on this for you and your family and all of our families. As of May 10th, 2017, crews began filling the collapsed section of the tunnel. The hole is being filled with soil using heavy equipment. Approximately 50 truckloads of soil is expected to provide an additional level of protection against any potential contamination release. Radiological monitoring continues to be performed with no indication of release reported thus far. That's because they have the monitors off. It is unknown how long it will take to complete the work, but it is expected to continue for several shifts. Wow. How long is this? Let me see. Okay, I'm just going to read the next thing. This is what they're talking about. Corrective action number one, starting immediately. Determine the cause of the breach in the Purex tunnel number one and assess if there is an immediate risk of further failures in Purex tunnels one and two. By July 1, 2017, submit to the Department of Ecology Nuclear Waste Program and a structural integrity evaluation for both Purex storage tunnel number one and two. And yes, because the wood, we found out in 1991 that the wood deteriorated by 30%. We're now 17 years later, so which means probably it's deteriorated. I mean, if anybody stuck a piece of wood in your compost bin and you look at it a year later, it's sort of decomposed a little bit. And then boom, it immediately deteriorates. So yes, we are in probably imminent danger. Corrective action number two, starting immediately, develop corrective action to ensure safe storage of the waste in the Purex storage tunnels number one and number two. In light of the above described failure in Purex storage tunnel number one, until a decision on permanent disposition of the Purex storage tunnel number one and two is determined as part of the closure under the dangerous waste regulations. By August 1, 2017, submit a draft report detailing the corrective actions to ensure the safe storage of the waste in the Purex storage tunnels number one and two. You know what really makes me infuriated? The lackadaisical attitude. Like, this is not a major emergency. This is a major emergency. We don't need to just like, oh, let's design a plan and talk about how long we're going to have to deal with it. Corrective action number three. By October 1, submit a draft permit modification to the Hanford Facility Resource Conservation and Recovery Act permit, dangerous waste portion provision 8C, to modify the permit to do the following. So submit a plan, and then by October 1, submit a permit so that they can talk about starting it next year sometime to maybe fix this thing, right? Wow. Update preparedness and prevention addendum to ensure the control and mitigation of run-on onto Purex storage tunnel number one and two. Wow, this is what they're supposed to report on. They have an update. An update process information addendum to include information required under corrective action number two to demonstrate the ongoing ability of Purex storage number one to continue to safely store mixed waste until closure. This includes submitting as part of the modification the structural integrity evaluation supporting safe operation of Purex tunnel number one. Update the closure addendum to include any interim actions needed for safe storage of the waste in Purex storage tunnel number one. Update the closure addendum to address the final closure under the dangerous waste regulations coordinated with the future CERCLA remediation decisions. Wow. Eligibility for paperwork violation waiver and opportunity to correct. Under the blah, 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 small businesses are eligible for a waiver of a first-time paperwork violation and an opportunity to correct violations. Ecology has determined that the requirements of this do not apply to the violations described in this order because you are not a small business as defined by blah, blah, blah code. Failure to comply with this order means jack. Okay, let's go back to the order. Failure to comply with this order may result in the issuance of civil penalties or other actions, administrative and or judicial, to enforce this order. Wow, we're going to spank your hands if you don't stop killing and murdering people. Your right to appeal. Oh, man. This is where the F word starts pouring out of my mouth. I don't know about you guys, but this is just, I'm glad that Jeff and Cincy had something come up and we couldn't connect, because this is super important and this is so outrageous. It's unbelievable. So folks, I have started reading Carl Grossman's book on my Facebook page, Nuts for Art. I'm reading his book. I've interviewed him so many times, and I keep saying I was going to read his book, Cover Up, What You're Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power. It is very timely reading because a lot of what he's going to share in that book, which I read about, I don't know, a year and a half ago, when he first talked about it, I guess it was about a year ago. It's a really great book, and it has great, as you go to his website, carlgrossman.com, go to books, and it says for sample of, but it's not a sample, it's 396 pages. So I would strongly recommend her to listen to my YouTube channel. Subscribe. Thumbs up. Although I don't make money on my channel. I don't monetize it. So, but it'd be nice to have, like, I don't know, wouldn't that be awesome? 400, 500,000 listeners and people learning about nuclear pollution. I mean, this is, we're in a place where really we have so much insanity. I don't know if many of you remember the Ed Sullivan Show, but on the Ed Sullivan Show, it was like a variety show in the early 60s, right? And they used to have this guy that would spin plates on top of like this jiggling pole. It was like a little stick, a long stick, and he'd twirl the plates, and he was like a plate twirler, and that was one of the big acts that would come on regularly. I guess Ed Sullivan liked it. It was a good analogy, I guess, about what's going on in our world. That is what's going on in our world. We have all these plates spinning, and Hanford just crashed a plate, and they are seriously, literally, summarily ignoring it. I mean, we are not getting information. I've had people all day in the last 2 days call me and say, Lonnie, did you hear about Hanford? Yeah, I heard about Hanford. Did you hear about the Fukushima's, the forest fires in Fukushima? You know, the reason they're not out is because they can't go in and fight them, because the forests in Fukushima are the most contaminated places in the forest. They can't, quote, clean it up and decontaminate it, those, quote, tidy little people. I mean, that is just, you know, how tidy is it to have your bags of shit all over the place in your backyard? That's not very tidy, if you ask me. Really, this is such an outrage what the nuclear industry is doing. I'm going to check in and see. Fukushima fires. Let's see where they're at, if there's an update as of today. Well, let's try that one. We like the Googles. People tell me, don't ever use Googles. 2 days ago. Oh, wow. Check this out. Somebody's apologizing for saying there's radioactivity in the air from the forest fires 2 days ago. Really? Okay, this is from The National. I guess it's an online newspaper. Daily apologizes for story on airborne radiation after Fukushima fire. And Wakayama. This is in Wakayama. Wow. A daily in Western Japan apologized Tuesday for its story last week, citing fears of airborne radiation following a wildfire in the no-go zone near the disaster-hit Fukushima Daiichi nuclear complex. The Kimpuno Daily, Evening Daily, based in Wakayama Prefecture, said its story published on May 2 about the fire that once a fire occurs in highly contaminated forests, quote, radioactive substances are said to spread like pollen scatters, unquote. The publisher said it received around 30 complaints through emails and phone calls. Those who complained included a Fukushima farmer criticizing the publisher for spreading a rumor. Oh my gosh. The Daily issued an apology in its Tuesday edition. Quote, we caused trouble by making a number of people worried, unquote, while citing the Fukushima Prefecture government's recent announcement that there was no significant change in environmental radiation levels near the fire. Does that sound familiar? Doesn't that just sound exactly like what we've been told in Hanford, folks? Atsushi Kawamoto, head of the Daily's news division, said the story may have caused some people anxiety, but the newspaper will continue to report on such matters of interest to the readers. It's true that there's concern about the spread of radiation, Kawamoto said. Disaster Reconstruction Minister Masayoshi Yoshino said in a press conference Tuesday that there had been no change in radiation readings in areas near the site of the disaster in northern Japan, and that the government will continue to provide, quote, accurate and objective information about the fire's effect. Yeah, you know why there was no change? Because it's still highly radioactive. A fire broke out on April 29 in Naime Town and spread to the neighboring towns of Futaba on May 1, burning 50 hectares of the forest. Oh, those are the two towns that they just had people, they forced people to move back into. So those were the two areas that they could not decontaminate. So did the government start that forest fire? Who knows? Or maybe the people did so that they had to be evacuated again because they were being forced to move back in. But the government's telling them, don't worry about it. Wow, this is so outrageous. So if anybody wants to give me a call, I know I didn't give out the number or give anyone an opportunity to call in, but the number is 718-717-8106. I'm just going to keep on because I'm somewhat stunned by the state of affairs in our country and by the fact that we have another nuclear emergency, a pretty serious one. The worst part about this nuclear emergency is that any radioactivity isn't going to be blowing out over the Atlantic like what happens in Turkey Point or going into the ocean or Indian Point. It is going to be west to east over Idaho, over New Mexico, over Ohio, just headed all of that way on top of the Fukushima radioactivity from the forest fires in Fukushima. And on top of that, we have outrageous stories about our president not allowing reporters in the room with him with Russian ambassador and the Russian advisors while letting Russian reporters in the room. This is so, you know, him firing Comey is not about loyalty or any. He's mad at Comey because he knows they are following the facts. And Comey intentionally got himself fired. He lied straight to the Senate the other day when he talked about Huma Abedin. Hundreds and hundreds of emails. He made a direct statement that was a direct lie. Nobody's mentioning that in any of these outrages about it. It's all just a game. It's so annoying. Oh, man. This is so sad. What is happening to our country? I mean, it's outrageous. And do we see the Democrats? No, you know, like, no. I mean, really. So we have about 8 minutes left. I want to talk to you about this story about this little boy. Now, this is little boy. I don't know if you guys have heard about this story, but Mike Pence had some kids. They were doing a photo op. Mike Pence spread his arm and bonked some kid in the face. The kid went, eh? He moved back, kept quiet. When the press conference stopped, the little kid followed him and said, hey, you owe me an apology. And he just ignored him, blah, blah, blah. And the little kid actually just forced his way over to the vice president and said, hey, you owe me an apology. So these are the children that are coming up. He was quite not rude about it, but he insisted. These are the ones that we need to get to understand the truth. These are the ones that have some integrity. Children have integrity. We are trained not to have integrity. It is time for us. Somebody said to me, well, if you pursued the Trump thing, there would be indictments by the Democrats. Hell yeah, we need indictments of some Democrats. Because I think my theory is 100% true, that the Democrats contacted the Russian hackers. They turned it around and started working on the Republican Party. And the Republican Party and the CIA found out about it and let Trumpy know. And I mean, you guys know I think Trump is a CIA asset anyways. This is where we're at. I mean, okay, let's hear this one. We only have 10 minutes. I don't know if I can get to the whole thing. But what broke today in the world of the nuclear world? NRC issues Pilgrim inspection report. This comes from Cape Cod News, Cape Cod Times. It's online. And it is dated, posted May 10th, updated May 10th at 7:14. Most of 11 violations cited as low risk, but generator failure awaits rating. I hate these people. Federal regulators are still considering the level of seriousness they will assign to a violation at the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station involving failure to properly maintain an emergency diesel generator used to power cooling systems during the loss of off-site power. The failure of the generator caused by a leaking valve that had not been maintained since it was installed 17 years earlier, occurred last year and was included on a long list of violations contained in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's inspection report, special inspection report issued Wednesday. 17 years later, it was maintained and they had never fixed it. Entergy Corp, Pilgrim's owner operator, may choose to make its case before the NRC regarding the classification of the generator problem. Entergy spokesman Patrick O'Brien, murderer, said the company had not yet decided what to do. The station is reviewing the report to determine our next course of action. We know what your next course of action is. Lie, 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 and lie. Continue to lie. Lie until you go to your grave and your children die of cancer, you bastard. We have 10 days to request to a regulatory conference, submit our position in writing, or accept the finding. We will be informing the NRC in that time frame. If the violation is found to present a level of higher risk than the low risk, quote, green ratings assigned to most of the plant's violations, Pilgrim will not likely be ordered to shut down based on what NRC inspectors told the public at a March meeting of the trouble plant. But it could mean an even more level of scrutiny by federal regulators. Yeah, like that'll happen under Rick Perry. So what do we think? We think they're going to get a green light. We think that Rick Perry is going to let them stay open and poison the entire East Coast. One of these days, we're going to have a huge catastrophe, just like we just reported for 45 minutes. Wow. Pilgrim set to close May 31, 2019, is one of the three worst performing plants in the country, placed in column four, one step above mandatory shutdown column five. Why do we have these insane levels? Why can't we just shut down plants that are completely dangerous? This is outrageous. Why wait for an emergency to shut down something that we know is completely out of control, dangerous, and grotesquely neglected? The 200-page document released Wednesday outlined the results of last year's three-phase special inspection and included a list of 11 identified violations, according to Sheehan. Four involved plant operations and engineering, including the diesel generator maintenance failure, and seven were related to issues with Pilgrim's corrective actions program. So 11 violations, and there was seven, more than half, related to their corrective action programs. Federal regulators have long criticized Pilgrim operators for not keeping up with maintenance. In many cases, necessary fixtures were scheduled in the plant's corrective actions, but the required maintenance was never done. That makes me want to spit nails. Corrective action was never done, and they are still allowed to even continue to make money. Oh, my God, I'm skipping down because let me see, how much minutes do we have left? Well, we only have a little tiny bit of a minute. So, folks, for sure, join us tomorrow. We're going to have Heidi Lambert on and Mimi Gurman. We're going to be talking about Hanford. This is a real emergency that is grotesquely being neglected, just like the Fukushima fires. And unfortunately, I read you that story and told you what's happening to there. If you dare report on it, the people in Japan have to apologize for reporting on the radioactive releases. Unbelievable. Well, in America, they just don't say anything. They're like, yeah, things are fine. Don't worry about it. And everybody complies. So put your courage feet on. Take action, man. Every voice matters. Call Senator Burr and tell him, you know, when are they going to start acting like Americans instead of Republicans? America first. Put your courage feet on, you guys.